Hello, and welcome to episode 3 of the Arcade Repair Tips Question and Answer Podcast. My name is Jonathan Leung. I'm the producer, director, and editor of the Arcade Repair Tips video series. And joining me today, as always, is Mr. Arcade Repair Tips himself, Tim Peterson. Tim, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Jonathan. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to everyone out there. We also have a special guest joining us today. You've probably seen him in some of the videos that we've shot. We usually call him El Presidente around here, but other people know him as Mr. Jerry Andrade. Jerry, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Happy New Year's, everyone.
Well, good. Well, you know, we're back here with another episode, and we're going to be answering your questions here on our podcast. And before we get started, I really want to mention our friend Doug. Doug Lowry, some of you may know him as the guy who currently holds the high score in Wizard of War, the arcade machine. But he started a new website called Wizard of War Fan, and it's on Blogspot. And I'll go ahead and put the link in the notes, but I really want you guys to check it out. You know, Doug's a great guy, and, you know, he gives some really good strategies as to how to get those high scores in Wizard of War.
Yeah, tell him you heard it on our site.
That's right. But if you guys want to go to Wizard of War Fan, separated by dashes, .blogspot.com, you can check that out. And I'll also put that in the notes of the podcast if you guys want to check that out, you know, in the future. So, but without further ado, let's go ahead and get started. And as always, we're going to start with the responses from our last show. We had got another email from Rick Anzalone. If you might remember, he had a Donkey Kong 2 that he had been having some monitor problems with. And so he wrote back to us saying, I found an article on the net about CRTs, and it made me decide to take it to a TV repairman to rejuvenate the tube. The guy was nice enough to show me how the restore worked and remove the short, but did not fix it. He said I could find an old TV, and if it fit the neck board, it would work. I did just that at a thrift store, and the with minor modifications, it worked. Thank you for your site and for introducing me to the beginning basics of arcade troubleshooting. Well, that's very positive. I love to hear that stuff. What about you guys?
Yeah, that's one good plug right there for old TVs. And you guys look on Craigslist or old thrift stores. If you will post on Craigslist or FreeCycle, man, they'll probably give them to you. So look for old 19 and 25 inch tubes. A lot of those will work if your game has screen burn and stuff. So good job, Rick.
Yeah, we always like to hear, you know, positive stories that you guys have fixed your games, and you know, we always like to start off on a positive note on the podcast as well. So we're glad to hear that Rick has fixed his problem. So let's also move on to Rejected Maniac. You might remember he had some issues with his MK cabinet flickering in his Mortal Kombat. He said, just now getting back to you, when I moved the cabinet in, I didn't inspect the plug, but while I was moving it towards the wall, I had my girlfriend plug it in and she didn't say anything. So I checked the ground, and on the plug it was bent pretty bad, and the other two are bent slightly. So I bought a new plug and watched your video on replacing one, but I have a question. Not sure what the little thing is, but the power cord is going to it, and I was wondering if I should be worried about getting electrocuted. I didn't know if there was power still held in it or not. Figured I would move on after your advice. You wouldn't happen to know where I could get a full setup for an MK1 cabinet, would you? I hear they are hard because most of them are not in good shape. I guess a good one needs scan. My left side is not faded at all, it seems, but maybe I can get a scan and give it to a CEO to Photoshop the gauges, or just reverse Johnny Cage for the other side print. Please let me know if you have any experience in this field, or maybe someone who does. Well, Rejected Maniac, you know, we're glad that you decided to replace your plug. Me and Tim are very big on replacing plugs, especially if you have bent prongs on. So, what do you guys think though he says not sure what the little thing is, but the power cord is going to it. I'm wondering if I should worry about getting electric. What do you guys think about that?
Well, you don't have to worry about it if your game is unplugged. And I'm assuming that it's a filter. Do you guys think it's a filter or something he's talking about?
Yeah, probably a filter.
What those are, they're AM filters. Back in the 80s, a lot of people had AM radios and stuff. I know you guys probably never listened to AM radio. I still do occasionally, but those filters would help with some of that. Also, that's what they do. They do filter some of your AC and help with grounds and stuff. It needs to be hooked back up if it's in there.
Yeah, and that's a good rule of thumb. We like to keep it there. I mean, if it's there already, why take it out, right?
There's a reason they put stuff in there. So even if I can't technically explain it, just know that it had a purpose, and it's good for it, so go ahead and put it back in there.
Sure. Well, he also continues and wrote us again, actually, in saying that he got a video of the flicker. Unfortunately, we weren't able to watch it because the video was marked as private. So, Rejected Maniac, if you could make that public for us so we could actually view your video, that'd be great. But it sounds like he remarks that he's done some things to restore his cabinet. He's put new locks on since it didn't have any. He's added a new bulb. He's cleaned the right side of the cabinet. And he will be getting more stickers for the left and right sides of the control panel as well. And he's got some pics that he sent us. And it's always good. We always really like seeing pics of the cabinet restorations you guys do. You know, we've shot a lot of videos on cabinet restoration. And it's always good to see guys putting some of that stuff into practice to restore their old cabinet. What do you guys think?
Oh, yeah. What I like is he's sent us some pictures and stuff. I mean, that's what this site's all about. It's about restoring and doing things like that. So, and I like the feedback, you know, letting us know. It's always nice to know that this at least helped one game get working out there.
Yeah, and so we appreciate you keeping us updated there, Rejected Maniac, and we hope that we get to hear from you more in the future. So we always want to hear how it's going.
Jonathan, we need to talk about his artwork.
Oh, yeah, the MK1 side art. That's a good point, Tim.
Well, sadly enough, there's not going to be anybody reproducing that because they have to have a high number of people wanting that before it's even worth doing the cost. But if he can scan it, he can get it to Scott over at mainmarquise.com, and he can print a full side art or at least a partial, try to help him out with that. He's probably the best person, I would think, to refer that to.
Yeah, we order a lot of stuff from Main Marquise. We like it a lot. It's a very reputable site and got some great artwork there. And he will print pretty much anything that you have. So, you know, Rejected Maniac, if you wanted to, you know, get a handheld scanner and meticulously scan the good side of your cabinet, send it into Main Marquise, I'm sure that they would be more than willing to help you out. So it's a good point, Tim. So, okay, well, we'll go ahead and move on. One thing is we haven't heard back from Michael Varcade. You might have remembered last episode that we shot a small video on how to adjust potentiometers that didn't have a knob. But we haven't heard back from him yet. So, Michael, hopefully, you know, you got at least the flipping problem solved. I know he was still having some color problems. And I think last, you know, the very first episode, we might have talked a little bit about the color problems being some wiring or perhaps, you know, something on the board, on his chassis. So, you know, Michael, just, you know, it'd be nice to hear an update if you have anything else or if you need any more help. You know, we're definitely here to help you out. So. But that's pretty much it as far as responses from the last couple shows. So we'll go ahead and move on to some of our YouTube questions that we received since the last podcast. We got one from The Captain's Auction. He says, great video log. I work for another video game auction company called Captain's Auction Warehouse in Southern California. I've been directing people to you guys since I found your vids a week ago. Keep up the good work. Well, we always like hearing positive feedback, like we said again. And we really appreciate you guys, you know, giving that positive feedback. It sounds like it's helped a lot of people that he's referred to the site. You know, when you run an arcade auction site, you know, a lot of times, you know, they sell things as is, where is, working or not. And so it's nice, you know, that he can say, well, you can go to arcaderepairtips.com or something like that, and hopefully it'll help you out a little bit with some of the troubles you might be having when you buy that game from the auction. Because a lot of times games might be working at the auction, but you get them home and they're not working. But we'll get to that. We'll get to a couple questions here in a little bit. But, you know, it's always good to hear from auctioneers and stuff like that. And you guys are really the heart and soul of what's left of arcade collecting. I mean, without the auctions, we wouldn't have half the games that we have. And what do you think, guys?
Yeah, I have never been to a Captain's Auction, but you guys out there in California, sounds like it's pretty localized out there. Have to let us know about your experiences or what kind of good games. Good deals, if y'all get some good deals at auction or garage sale or somebody gives you a Pac-Man for free, you know, y'all need to write and tell us about that. We'd like to share some stories about that. Probably got a few we could tell one of these days.
Yeah, maybe we'll actually go into some of the stories about how we found some of our games. But I'll even tell you that the vast majority of the games that we have come from arcade auctions, whether it be Super Auctions or others that we've gone to over the years. And, you know, Captain's Auction sounds like just another reputable auction house to get your arcade games at. And while we're here talking about him, we'll go ahead and give him a plug since he was so positive. You can check out the Captain's Blog, which is the official blog for Captain's Auction Warehouse, if you go to captainsauction, all one word, .wordpress.com. And again, that's captainsauction.wordpress.com. Very beneficial for you guys that are out in California if you want some arcade games to collect. We'll also put that in the notes on the podcast, so if you guys want to find it that way, you can. So thanks for writing in, Captain's Auction. Now we're going to move to Paper Clown. Now, this was concerning our video that we shot, Adjusting Potentiometers Without a Knob. And he writes, a very similar question. My contrast on my finger pot doesn't work. I made sure there was nothing between the contacts and the finger PCB and traced the wires to make sure that everything was plugged in. I know on some chassis there is another contrast on the main PCB, but mine doesn't appear to have that. Just focus and brightness on the flyback. Is it possible the cause is just brittle wires? A simple fix in snipping the new wires, maybe. So, Tim, Jerry, what do you guys think?
I don't know. I mean, he's talking about the brightness on the very back of the monitor, right?
Right.
But that's completely different because you have to adjust that one with the one on your car.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Sometimes the pods on those things go bad. They do break if it bends, if it hits something. So how do you fix those things?
Well, what he needs to do first is he can reflow the solder on the back of his potentiometer, or pot for short. It could definitely be a wiring issue by all means. Yes, they do. They are brittle. But I would think that if you're moving that potentiometer all the way to the left, all the way to the right, and you're not getting anything, there's a couple fixes. In the short term, let's say that your contrast is right next to your brightness, but your brightness is fine. You could take out your chassis and switch the two and then use that one that is, you know, is working. So you could use that one in your, switch the two potentiometers. You just unplug or unsolder three things and move it over. If you don't have one like us, you might not have, you know, five or six potentiometers laying around or old chassis. You can buy those. Bob Roberts sells them. Just about any electronics place. If you took them, it's probably a 1K potentiometer. Everybody knows on your meter, it's a thing that looks like a horseshoe that measures resistance, is ohms. You could read across the middle leg and the one of the other legs, and it should go up when you turn it up and down when you turn it down. You could read the other ones to get what they're reading. So you could have a bad potentiometer, could be bad solder joints on the bottom of that potentiometer. And then, of course, there is your wiring. So always check continuity with your meter from where the wire starts to where it ends. It's real simple.
Now, let me ask you something. Does this sound more like a wiring problem to you guys, or does it sound more like a potentiometer type problem? I mean, what do you guys think?
I personally think it's a potentiometer. But then again, to figure it out, you have to start simple.
Right.
Start with your wires, check them, check your solder. Then, if not, you move on into the more complex fix.
Sounds good. You know, and that's always good advice, Jerry, anytime we fix a game. You know, start with the most obvious thing and work your way to the most complex. You know, sometimes we try to fix so many things in the complex way, and we didn't even check to see if the game was even plugged in sometimes.
But replacing a potentiometer is probably not very complex, so it's something he could do with a little bit of soldering skills. It's not hard.
Sure. Okay, well, we hope that answers your question there, Paper Clown, and we'll go ahead and move on to Sunkissed Shark. And he writes in a couple of questions to us, but we'll start with the first. First, he says, "Hi, great videos." Well, thank you. "I have the old-style light with a starter. I'm trashing it for a new Walmart one. Is the changeover as easy as just cutting off the plug? What do you guys say?"
Ooh, I'm the expert about lights. It's actually really easy. As long as you cut off the wires that have the power, just cut off on your new light, you have to cut off the power cord,
mm-hmm.
and very carefully attach those two wires, and you can use anything from wire nuts to shrink wrap, whatever you want, and hook them up together, mount your light, and when you plug it in, it should be ready to go.
Yeah, Jerry is the expert. Who knows how many lights that Jerry's actually replaced over the time he's been working for us.
Just a simple trick, just in case he's never done this before, take the light bulb out, and that's how you screw it into the top of the cabinet. Of course, we probably showed that in our video, but just in case we didn't, take the light bulb out, open the bulb out, screw it in, and then put the light bulb back in. It is just that simple. Two wires. You should have two wires coming up with AC power. Make sure all the power is off. That is a hot wire, and, you know, unless you just like to be electrocuted or, you know, get some kind of thrill out of that. I'd advise, if you have the skills and can put a Molex plug in there, it'll save you some time next time you go. But wire nuts, all that work, you don't see it. They'll work just fine.
Also, yeah. You need to make sure to, sometimes you don't see the screw holes. You need to remove the cover,
mm-hmm.
in order to see the screw holes.
Yeah, those Walmart ones typically have those covers on them. Yeah, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
And we generally just leave the cover off. The cover is really for protection, like somebody going to touch it or grab the little kid, stick their finger in there, but because we're going to use it like he uses it for a marquee, you don't really need that cover on there, and it'll make it easier to change your light bulb next time.
That sounds good. That should answer his question pretty much, so we'll move on to his next one. Again from Sunkissed Shark. Hi, I have another question for you. I'm having trouble getting power to my monitor. I'm using a computer LCD. I've cut off the plug and have blue, brown, and green. Where do I hook these up to? So, guys, this one sounds like a toughie. What do you guys think? I think the general consensus all around is, but...
Well, what he's saying is that he's just cut the plug. And what does he hook them up to? Well, you should have probably a black and a white wire and a green wire coming up. So you're going to use the green as your ground, and then your blue and your brown will go to your black and your white. So just make sure you keep green. That's kind of universal ground color. The green's the same. The other two, technically, they won't matter, but you need to put the blue with the black and the brown with the white. Because they're different colors than what's coming up. As long as the green is the same, the other two, you want to look for your line and your neutral, but, and I'm not exactly sure, but I know that it will work if he hooks up the black to the brown. I'm sorry, black to blue and white to brown.
Sunkissed Shark, hopefully that answers your question with that. You know, sounds pretty straightforward for the most part. So, you know, write us back, let us know how that goes for you. Okay, now we'll move on to Angus Rock 92. He writes in about a Centipede game, saying, how do I take the control board off to replace it? And he wrote control board. You think he's talking about control panel, or is he talking about PCB, or what do you guys think?
Yeah, Angus, we need a little... When you say control in the arcade world, that usually means the control panel, but you said the word board, which means electronics, which control board and electronics would have to do with your monitor. Just a little verification there. I assume you're talking about, though, the control panel, and there will be two latches up inside. You'll reach in through the coin door, and on the side of your game, up near the top, you'll unlatch them. What you do is you take the latch and pull it towards you. Once you've, if you can look up in there with a screwdriver, a flashlight, you will probably figure that one out. And then there's some bolts that go down there, but if we're way off base on this one, just email us back with a clarification. We'll help you with it.
Sure. You know, and it's funny that he should say Centipede game if it is the control panel, because I believe that there's a video on our DVD where we kind of have told you how to do this, and it's in the bloopers, actually, the one on how to replace an arcade monitor, where Tim actually does show you how to take or unlatch the control panel on it, but we didn't finish the rest of the video. But it is on the DVD. So if you guys want to pick up the DVD, it's pretty funny because we had some storms that went on that night. And he does show you at least how to unpop that control panel off of Centipede. So
almost in the dark.
That's right. So that's a really fun video. It's on the bloopers section of the DVD. So, you know, if you're interested, if it is the control panel, you might pick that up and just see what you think. So I think that about does it for the YouTube questions. So we're going to go ahead and move on to the website questions that we've got. Now, we actually got a voicemail on the Arcade Entertainment / Arcade Repair Tips line, so we'll go ahead and play that voicemail. It's from Arthur, and let you guys hear it, and then we'll give you our opinions on it.
Hello. Yes, I'm calling. My name's Arthur Miles, and I'm just calling because to get some help from you guys. Happened to have myself a, throwing a blank now. An SNK, or not an SNK, but a Neo Geo machine. And I'm having troubles with my monitor where when I turn it on, I get nothing but pixelation all around the whole screen. You can still play the game and see it, kind of, but everything's covered in pixels. And I figured to do a change the caps on the board there. But problem is, I can't find, it doesn't say any serial numbers on the board, so I was hoping you guys can help me out with it, see if we can get this board up and running. So hoping you guys can help me. I figure if anybody can help me, you guys. Thank you. Have a good day. Bye.
So, Tim, it sounds like Arthur's having some problems with his Neo Geo cabinet, some maybe monitor or board issues. What do you think?
Well, what I got from Jonathan, looks like he's not sure exactly what kind of monitor he has, which we go through this all the time ourselves. A lot of them we know by memory by now, but we always plug Bob Roberts' site. The real BobRoberts.net has a link down on the left-hand bottom side that says, "What's My Monitor?" And I want you to go there, Arthur, and look at pictures of monitor chassis. he has different kinds. You might have to click on several different monitors. It's probably not a Wells Gardner, or they'll have their name all over it. So you might skip some of those. If you send me a picture of it, I may know offhand or can help you. So by all means, send me a picture of your chassis, and we'll get that taken care of. And I appreciate you calling in.
Yeah, that's actually the first phone call that we've gotten. So it's kind of cool to be able to play the voicemail and hear you guys out there. So, Arthur, thanks again for calling in. Hopefully we can get your Neo Geo problems all solved. So now we'll go ahead and move on to Michael Cruz. He also has a Neo Geo that works okay for most of the time. Sometimes it goes and goes to vertical lines. My buddy who works on these things looked at it and said it needed a new power supply, as my 5-volt was too high at 5.5. My 12-volt was just over 12. Someone converted this unit to a Peter Chow power supply, so I bought the same one to replace it. I can adjust it to 5.1, but the 12-volt won't come any lower than 15.2. I assume this is a bad power supply. The problem is the same, except it's only good for about 2 minutes before it goes to vertical lines. Should I go back to the old power supply that was giving me the original problem? Well, guys, what do you guys think about Michael's question here? What advice can we give him on this one?
Well, the part that you're not able to get your power supply to the correct voltage, that does concern me. Those may still be in range, but anytime I've got a power supply that won't go down, that's a red flag, because we ought to be able to get those a little bit closer than that. If you want to use a PC-type power supply, that's perfectly fine. The game won't know any difference. A lot of arcade games are PC-type power supplies. And, Jonathan, you probably know much more about that than I do. But vertical lines, Jerry, I'll let you talk a little bit about that on the Neo Geo. What do you do with an 8-bit Nintendo that gets vertical lines?
The Neo Geo has cassette-based games. They're like your first Nintendo system. And what did you used to do? Blow on them. A good blow or two. And when you plug it back in, it should come up back to normal.
Yeah, it almost sounds more as much like a board issue. Does it happen no matter what game you put this in or what slot? Those are two questions I'd like to know the answer to.
It depends on which one he has, the single one or the multi one that you can change the game so it presents the button.
Yeah, Michael, let us know about that. But by all means, you got to get that power supply down a little bit. Now, you could add a resistor. You go to Radio Shack and add a resistor in and drop that voltage down. But, you know, that power supply, brand new. Here's another great question. If we unplug everything, the JAMA harness, everything, we just set that power supply out on the floor and we plug it in, what voltages do you read there? See, one thing that concerns me is if his voltages are reading good when it's just sitting there, but when he plugs it in, they spike, he could have a board problem causing the spike or the problem with that, and thus the lines and some other issues. So pull your power supply out or unhook everything going to it except for the AC going in, and then let me know what the voltages read there without a load. In other words, that'd be a technical term there. That without a load on it, what do you read?
Yeah, and I think that's really good advice from both of them. You know, the problem with the cartridges, I've actually had personal experience with. I had a 2-slot Neo Geo one time, and the guy I picked it up from, he's pretty funny. He said, "Well, you know, it's hard for me to get them both working, but if I slide a pack of cigarettes in between the two cartridges, it works every time." So, you know, that was his answer for like the cartridges moving and stuff. Because what it would do is like those cartridges would shift every so often and it would kind of freak out and reset. And those are common, you know, with these cartridge-based systems like Neo Geo, you know, for that kind of stuff to happen. You know, but it sounds like, you know, Michael, that your old power supply was not too far off the mark. I mean, just a little over 12 and 5.5. I mean, you know, if you just turn that down just a hair, you'd probably be right at acceptable voltage range. What do you guys think? 5.5 and a little over 12, is that too high? Or?
I don't think that's too high for a Neo Geo. If you read it on his board, I think that's actually pretty within range, you would say.
I would think so, too. I would think that's in range. So your old power supply was probably mostly okay, you know, but yeah, you definitely need to check your cartridges, you know, and blow on them a little bit, make sure that they're making good contact. And if it continues to have these vertical lines, it might, you might actually have some monitor issues. So
you had the world's best power supply in there to begin with, Peter Chow.
That's right. Yeah, Peter Chow's are usually very dependable, very reliable. So
do a web search on that one, guys.
That's right. So we like Peter Chow a lot. So I mean, they obviously are pretty good. So, but Michael, hopefully that gives you some insight. So we'll go ahead and move on to Katie Damaski. Say that. I'm sorry if I'm butchering your name, but
that's KDD for us.
Yeah, KDD. The very first thing, she gets a whole lot of content here, so, but she starts off with a sad face. She said, "I purchased a great looking Donkey Kong cabinet from eBay for our family Christmas present. It came via FedEx Freight. We have had it for 3 days now, never took it off the pallet yet, and pushed the pallet back against the garage wall and plugged it in. We're great the first day. Last night, we noticed about five inch semicircle of washed out color at the top of the screen. The graphics were there, but the colors were sort of faded. This morning, the monitor is black. The top light board is lit and fine, but the monitor is black and pushing buttons does not bring sound. We unplugged it, counted to 10, plugged it back in, nothing came on except the lit graphic at the top of the arcade machine. We were heartbroken. The eBay listing said, this game works 100%. The picture is perfect on this newly rebuilt original Sanyo 20 EZ monitor. It is sharp, vibrant, bright, and beautiful. The buttons are brand new and the joystick is original. All controls work. The light fixture has been replaced with a new one. The T-molding is also new. To me, this meant a good machine with plenty of playtime." And she writes another sad face. "Any ideas? Much appreciated." Well, to be honest with you, Kate, we've actually got a lot of emails during Christmas Eve and Christmas Day with people who had bought arcade machines off eBay and other places that have been having problems with them. So we're so sorry that you have experienced any kind of problem. And, I, you know, before we even go into troubleshooting this problem, you know, the first thing we would tell you is contact the seller. And make sure, a lot of times they'll work out deals if you know, it's not working or something like that. But, you know, definitely want to contact the seller. But, I mean, apart from that, what do you guys think the problem is with this one?
Yeah, Katie, let me just say a note to Katie. First off, it's an arcade game, and get used to it a little bit, because obviously you didn't have this shipped across town. You had it shipped. So it could be something a little simple, because stuff gets shook loose. Check some of the connections and stuff that go to everywhere. I've sold games, guys, that were just immaculate condition. Never give me any problems. And then, you know, they get it home and bam, something goes bad. So we are talking about a almost 30-year-old machine. Even though it sounds, and I don't know the sellers, and I'll tell you one thing, Katie, if you will privately email us and tell us where you're from, and you're not comfortable.
Yeah, actually, Katie in her second part of the email actually says she's in Dallas.
Oh.
All places.
Katie, we got you under control. let's email me privately. I'd like to see that eBay auction. I may know the seller. And we'll be able to help you out. We may have to send a friend over to look at it, and maybe they would be willing to pay for the service call or something if it did go bad that quick.
Yeah, this is really a case more of you know, a seller, you know, standing behind their product. I mean, we sell things on eBay or anywhere. We try to always stand behind what we sell. You know, if it gives them any problems, usually within 30 days, sometimes 90 days, you know, we're going to help you out any way we can. And I'm sure the seller, Katie, is no different than we are, hopefully. You know, he just wants to make sure everything's fair and help you out any way he can. But the fact that you're in Dallas, you're really close to us and some of our friends that we have here in Texas. And so that makes it you know, kind of easy for us to help you troubleshoot, too. Before we go any further, though, I'm going to read the rest of your email so we can kind of go over that as well. She continues on saying, "We had the machine plugged into our garage outlet continuously since it arrived. 3 days. It snowed last night, first white Christmas in Dallas for over 80 years. Though it was in the upper 20s outside during the coolest part of the day, the garage was cold, but not really cold. No need to wear a coat or anything. It appears the machine is making sounds and playing games when buttons are pushed, but the monitor is completely black. I have been looking on the internet, and apparently monitors do not like the cold. But it wasn't too terribly cold in the garage, though the machine was placed next to an outside-facing wall. Any chance that as the temperature warms outside, it will come back to us? I can't imagine something so simple destroying our game like that overnight." And Katie, we'd have to agree with you. I don't think it was the cold that really got to the game.
No, not here in Texas. I mean, granted, they don't like cold. I'll be honest there. It probably is something on your monitor that went out. It could have blown a fuse. I don't know if you normally have stuff plugged into that outlet. Could have took a spike here in Texas. I know that we did have some storms about that same time too, right before Christmas. Give us a private email. I want to get somebody out there to help you in. I want to maybe contact that seller. I want to find out who sold you that. I bet we can help you with that one, Katie.
Yeah, and now that she's saying that, it's playing what we call playing blind. I mean, playing blind is what is the terminology we use whenever a game gets sound and you can play it, but you don't have anything on the monitor. It's pretty clear cut at this point that it's probably a monitor issue that's holding you back. I mean, what do you guys think?
Yeah, it could have come unplugged too, Katie. You know, we're talking about traveling in a truck. Have you ever drove in the back of a pickup truck in Texas? Imagine what that game was doing on the FedEx truck. And you know those FedEx guys always take gentle care in handling of everything. So anyway, I'm just saying that.
No offense to any FedEx people out there. We love you guys. We ship FedEx all the time.
FedEx only. We don't even use it. But Katie, get in contact with us. You got our phone number too off the website, and we've got a couple Donkey Kong machines. We'll be glad to help you out with that one.
Yeah, I mean, Donkey Kong has become so popular ever since the King of Kong, you know, and people are wanting to play it again, and we're glad to see that. You know, here at the shop, we have two of them that we like to play, and you know, Donkey Kong's a great game, and we hate that this happened, especially on, like, Christmas Eve, you know, when you needed the game and it was your family Christmas present. But I don't think this is anything to fret over. I think it can easily be solved, you know, by tech coming out, or hopefully we can resolve this, you know, between you and the seller. So, Katie, thanks again for writing in. I'm sorry we couldn't get to you sooner. You know, we took a break. You know, as a lot of you may know, we took a little break here for the holidays. You know, me and Tim and Jerry, you know, they finished a big project here for a local church, and we've all been taking a break. And, you know, so we're sorry we couldn't get back to you faster. Okay, so now that we've answered Katie's question, we'll move on to Philip Philbin. Philip writes, "My brother bought a Galaga machine and has fixed the circuit board, and when you turn it on, it comes up with a blue screen, but says the credits and game over, etc., but is not working. Would you have any insight on what the problem may be? Thank you very much." It sounds like your circuit board, you know, if you've got a blue screen, but you've got the credits and the game over and you're seeing most of the stuff on it, could very well be a monitor issue here, I would think. So, I mean, what do you guys think?
Well, rule number one, start simple. You saying you see the credits and the game over, well, it could be as simple as a start button. So you need to check your start button, make sure that you're getting continuity there on this, or you could take a jumper wire and go across them two wires that are going to your start button, see if it actually starts. If you're seeing the board and all the graphics look fine, that's where I would definitely start on this one.
Yeah, I think that's a good place. You know, I mean, you know, the Galaga, you know, Galaga's, you know, if you're seeing the credits and you're seeing the game over, I would say your board is probably okay. You know, I mean, now that's just a guess. I mean, this is what the information you gave us, but
remember, you can go into test mode, and in the test mode, it tests for such things like your buttons and switches and stuff. So if you don't have a manual yet, I would highly, highly recommend Galaga's a game you're probably going to keep forever. Find one, or let us direct you to one that you can download or something, and then use your manual to go into test mode and test those switches.
Sure, yeah. That's good advice. You know, it's good to have manuals for every game that you have, because it's a good way to, you know, make sure that you cover the basic troubleshooting. A lot of those great manuals from the 80s, you got to remember, those were written back when arcade games were first coming out. They're brand new. So most of them do a very good job of explaining, you know, in a simplistic manner, things about the arcade game. So, you know, highly recommend getting a manual for any of the arcade games that you guys have. They help you out with troubleshooting issues and other things. Some of them even have schematics that you can go by if you're looking at repairing the board. So, but yeah, like Tim said, it could be as simple as a start button. Could be a coin button even. Maybe you haven't coined it up, you know, and you need to just coin it up and then hit the start button. But the blue screen, you know, he says there's a blue screen and says the credits and everything. I mean, what do you think that is, Tim? You think that could be board related, or you think that's monitor related? You know, I mean, blue screen.
Oh, it comes up on a blue screen. Yeah, I didn't read that carefully.
Yeah.
That sounds more like a board issue.
No, you think so?
Yeah. Quit letting your brother fix it. No, I'm just kidding. don't know you guys, Philip. I'm just teasing. Yeah, it does sound like a board issue. We could do a little more research on, hopefully on the net or something on that. And I can't recall that issue on a Galaga before. It is possible that it could be a monitor issue, but the fact the game won't start now, it's also probably a board issue.
Okay, so Yeah, you might, you might look at your board, might look at your monitor, a couple of things, buttons, of course, start buttons and things like that. But, Philip, we're going to go ahead and do our talk on how we like to get YouTube videos and pictures of problems because, that really helps us help you diagnose the game, basically. It helps us help you. And so we really like, if you're having a problem, especially one with a monitor like this, if your monitor's completely black, that's one thing, okay? Because, black monitor is black monitor. But if you're having problems like this where you're having weird colors on a screen or weird objects, artifacts on a screen, picture's worth a thousand words to us. YouTube videos, we highly, highly recommend you guys sending us in that stuff. Post it on YouTube, post it as a video response to one of ours or something like that. And that'll allow us to help you much better and help you better diagnose the issue. So, definitely check, definitely try to do that if you can on those stuff. So, but Philip, just keep us updated. Give us a couple more details and let us know, if there's something else that might be causing the issue. So, okay. And our last one here is from someone named Amanda, and she writes in, "Hello, I just purchased a cocktail sized centipede. The gentleman I purchased it from has owned it for some time and has had no issues with it. However, after getting it home, I let it warm up at his suggestion for 2 hours at room temperature. We were able to play it for an hour and a half before the screen started scrolling and flickering. It resets itself to the start screen and continued to scroll. If you shut it off for a short period of time, say 30 minutes, and turn it back on, you can't quite get through one whole game before it begins to flicker and scroll again. Seems to only happen when warm. So I took the back panel off and pulled the service button so that the game would stay on and put a fan behind it to cool, and it made no difference. Checked all the connections, and everything seems to be attached securely. There is no discoloration to the screen, and the sound works as it should. It was transported on its left side for the two-hour ride to my brother's home, and again moved the next day for 15 minutes to my father's home, where it sat on its side overnight in 20-degree temperatures, as it was a Christmas gift yesterday. I don't know if it gives you any ideas as to what may be wrong, but I'd appreciate any help. Thanks in advance, Amanda." And she also goes on to say it was also an original Atari 1980 cabinet, and it gives us the serial number and the video number as well. So thank you for all that detail, Amanda. Guys, Jerry, Tim, what do you guys think about this one? Centipede cocktail on its side.
I want to be Amanda's friend who gives Christmas gifts like that.
I'm telling you, man, I want a centipede cocktail for Christmas.
Well, Jonathan, I don't read anything in there about her trying to adjust it when this happens. Man, did you look at our video on adjusting a monitor? Maybe it's just after it heats up, the hole could be just needing a little adjusting. Again, a picture or video might help on that one. These things are old. That guy probably never played it for an hour and a half straight. So I wouldn't be too harsh on the seller at this point. You seen something there, Jonathan?
Yeah, I was just looking. It says that it reset itself to the start screen and continued to scroll.
Okay.
So reset itself to the start screen. I mean, it's obvious the game is playing okay. The board's probably okay in that case. But the resetting itself, it just sounds indicative to me of a power supply issue.
Yep.
I mean, that's what I would say. Like your voltage is too low or something like that. In old arcade games, Arcade Shop, I think we talked about this with some of our some of the people that we've answered questions about. Arcade Shop sells these old kits that will take like all the wiring from your old power supply down there and allow you to convert it to a switcher on a lot of different games. We did it on our Kicks, and this might be a good candidate for something like that. It's always better to have a newer style power supply in there instead of those old, big transformer looking power supplies that they have in there by default.
Yeah.
So
think of it like the battery, and they just don't last forever, and they don't even sell that anymore. So you can convert to a newer, get a centipede to switcher kit if you're going to keep it for a while. Till then, you know, I don't think a fan is going to help. It's not going to, that's another thing that I'm glad you did that though. Did rule out that it's overheating, but, I definitely would highly recommend if you have the capabilities and can check voltage, I think that it probably is dropping anytime you see that resetting issue. Big red flag.
Yeah, and here's the thing, is that she's having the reset with the monitor scrolling. Reset with monitor scrolling. I mean, it's the scrolling itself is probably related more to a monitor issue, but the reset could be related to a power issue. You could have two separate problems on this same game that are causing the issue. Thank you, Amanda, for writing in, and hopefully that'll give you some insights. You might also contact the seller and see if there's anything that, he might pay to have somebody come look at it or something like that. know, you can always ask it. But I think that's going to about wrap it up for us today. I think that's all the questions we received. Again, thank you guys for writing in and for listening to our podcast. And, you know, before we go, we always like to give out some contact information. So we actually have a brand new podcast voicemail line that you guys can send your voicemails into. And it's a phone number dedicated just for Arcade Repair Tips voicemails. So if you guys have any questions and don't want to bother writing them all out, just want to send us a voicemail, you can. That voicemail number is going to be 972, the number 8, and AR Tips, as in Arcade Repair Tips. And that's 972-8 AR Tips. Or if you prefer numbers, 972-827-8477. So you guys can just dial that number and leave us a voicemail. And on the next podcast, we might play your message and answer your question. You can also send us contact via Twitter at our Twitter account. That's twitter.com/arcaderepair. Or you can also leave it on our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/arcadegames. And you can always leave a comment on the website and get to us that way. And, of course, we have our email addresses. And, you know, Tim's is timpeterson@arcadeentertainment.com. I'm Jay Leung at arcadeentertainment.com. And Jerry is jandrade@arcadeentertainment.com. So you guys can write to either one of us if you have any issues or questions or anything like that. And hopefully we can get your questions answered here on the podcast. Before we sign off, Jerry and Tim, is there anything you guys want to add or throw in there before we sign it off today?
Just want to wish everybody Happy New Year and thank you guys for making this a great year for us and hopefully looking forward to some greater things this coming year.
Yeah, we got some real exciting things coming up this year, you know, as far as Arcade Repair Tips is concerned. Of course, more videos coming your way, more podcasts, you know, more special guests and, you know, all sorts of good stuff. And we really appreciate all your support and for everything that you guys, you know, do on the website. You know, we might as well plug our DVD, too. If you guys want to buy Volume 1 of the Arcade Repair Tips video series DVD, you can go to arcaderepairtips.com/store and pick it up there. It's only $18 shipped to anywhere in the continental United States. Or if you want one shipped internationally, you can contact us.
So, we even ship it to Spain.
That's right. We just shipped one off to Spain. So, you know, we will ship it anywhere in the world. Just give us the contact. You know, $18, though, continental shipping in the United States, and, you know, not a bad deal at all. Jerry, anything you want to add before we sign off?
What I'll say is I want to thank them for their questions, their feedback and whatnot, because if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be doing this podcast. We wouldn't have no websites. We wouldn't be helping anybody.
That's right.
Thank you.
That's right. So thank all you guys out there for all the feedback and everything that you give. We continue, you know, we hope you guys continue to listen and to send us your feedback, send us your questions and your comments and continue on. And hey, if you guys have an idea for a video or if you want to shoot a video yourself, maybe even on something we've already done, maybe you doing a cap kit or something like that, send it on in and let us know, and we'll try to add that into our content as well. Okay, well, I guess we're going to leave it on that note. Everybody, again, have a Happy New Year, and we hope to hear you on episode 4. Okay, thanks. Bye.